Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with acclaimed jazz organist Pat Bianchi on the 2026 album Confluence. We originally caught up with them here at Neon Jazz way back in 2018 after a rousing Blue Room show in Kansas City, and now we rendezvous on new action in 2026. Confluence features a high-energy trio recording that captures the raw immediacy of three musicians pushing themselves to the edge, accompanied by two of New York City's finest in Troy Roberts and sax and Colin Stranahan on drums. The album channels the intensity of a live concert, unfiltered, spontaneous, and full of the forward-moving creativity that has come to define Pat's work. Widely regarded as one of the leading organists of his generation, Pat opens up about this new album, live shows, 2026 America, and so much more. Dig this interview.
Hey, how are you?
What's going on, man?
Not too much. How about with yourself?
Everything's good. It's great to see you. I appreciate you taking a minute out.
Man, my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me here, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, the last time we hooked up was around the time you were in Kansas City, and it was 2018. I remember that show and that trip very well.
So was I with Joe Locke, maybe?
Yes.
Smitty?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that night. Bobby Watson came down. It was a great night.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird because sometimes I find myself seeing him just kind of popping into places. And yeah. I'm like, I don't know that people understand that we have a living legend that's just coming in and making things that much more dynamic on a regular basis.
Man, I know. I mean, his history, I mean, the things he's contributed to the music compositionally, obviously with Art Blakey, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
So I hope people do, you know, at least young cats who are studying the music out there do appreciate him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, and during his educational tenure, he retired in 2020, I believe. The amount of people that came out of his program was like the next wave of young lions, so to speak, just been a part of the scene here. So it's good. Have you been back since 18?
No, I haven't. I've tried a couple times. I mean, I'm not sure that they're able to afford a full trio at this point. I don't know. Things have been a little bit tight.
Yeah.
I mean, it's everywhere in the country right now feels like it's a little bit tight.
So, yeah.
But I'm, you know, I keep in touch with Gerald. So hopefully at some point down the road, we can do something.
And he just opened a barbecue joint here in town. So he's grilling ribs and meats on the weekends at a barbecue joint. So, yeah.
Wow, man, I'm sure that's going to be off the hook too.
Yeah, it's a blend of Texas and Kansas City. So that'll definitely have to be on your list when you come here for sure.
Yeah, no, it definitely will happen if it all works out for sure. Turn down barbecue.
Absolutely. Well, man, I tell you what, I've loved all of your work. I was pretty ecstatic to see Confluence come out. So let's get into the album. And before we do that, you know, the last time we talked was before the world kind of fell off a ledge and COVID happened and all of these things that are happening now. So how did you get through that pandemic era? And how did it change the way that you approach music and life?
I think, like everybody else, it was first surviving day to day. I mean, it was such a strange time. I remember because I had just started teaching part-time at Berkeley, literally weeks before everything happened. And the very last gig that I did was a duo concert with Ralph Peterson. We did at Berkeley. And then I'm driving home from Boston after that concert, listening on the radio, talking about the world basically is going to be shutting down everything. And it was very surreal. You know, and I think for me, there's a couple ways that I kind of was able to deal with it. First of all, I was teaching online, so that helped. You know, doing my Berkeley classes and whatnot, private lessons online. Also, I think the thing that was really important at the time, I was playing quite a bit with drummer Byron Landham and Paul Ballenbeck, guitar player Paul Ballenbeck, and we had been playing a ton over, you know, up until that point. And what we would do is Paul and I basically felt like we were sneaking down to Philadelphia because, you know, you weren't supposed to be driving, you weren't supposed to be doing this and that. And we'd get together and play. And we eventually started, doing the internet broadcast before a lot of people were doing it, before really caught on, actually. But we would do that and we would hang, you know, order food and, you know, kind of it felt like a little bit of normal life. And we get still playing and still doing our thing. We ended up doing a bunch of online workshops for colleges. And so that ended up being a strong, for me, outlet of me to be able to keep playing to the best, the best circumstances would allow, and to keep in touch with close friends and things like that. So those two things, really were key in me keeping my sanity together. I mean, things coming back obviously felt different, playing in front of people, trying, getting things going again. A lot of things were different, and it took, and look in the sense of rebuilding, I guess you could say, because the whole industry had changed, the whole scene of music had changed, and of course everybody else has changed, had changed too. So one of my goals I decided coming out of the pandemic was to try to get back to touring more, and it took a while to build that back up because I was before that I was grateful and thankful to be in touring with Pat Martino. That was 10 years. We were out all the time, and by that time he COVID had finished. He passed away, of course, and life goes on, and it just took a few years to kind of rebuild all those kind of things and kind of get back into the to the groove, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, you're firmly in it on Confluence featuring Troy Roberts and Colin Stranahan. Talk to me a little bit about this trio, the vision, what you were going for with this album.
So I've known Troy since 2010, before he actually moved to New York City and sort of established himself. So it's been a long time friendship, and we played together quite a bit over the years. Before he was touring with Joey and Tay and all those great musicians, and as his career was building, we did different stuff along the way. So we've always maintained a close musical connection and friendship as well. So we've always been great friends, and we're kind of like-minded in terms of the music, And Colin Stranahan, I lived in Denver for a number of years, and Colin Stranahan, I remember meeting him when he was a senior in high school, I believe. He might have been a little bit younger. So we had played together in Denver, and we're probably about 10 years apart in age. So I was kind of watching him grow, so to speak, and come up in the scene. And of course, he's another person we kept in touch with, though we didn't play a lot. We'd always kind of had that connection of our early days in Denver. And I decided after the pandemic that I just wanted to do something a little bit different. And the one thing that I wanted to do is some of my favorite recordings are not necessarily highly produced. Thought out, here's a nice compact 4 minute tune, for you to check out to which is a very thing that happens a lot because it's necessary for radio play and for certain aspects. And for me, instead, I always love the live recordings and things off the cusp where you're not sure, it's not going to be perfect. There might be some things that happen here or there, so that was kind of the thing I wanted to do with this trio. And I thought that it would be just something different, it would be a lot of fun to do. And also the thing that concept conceptually draws from is I was a huge, almost a disciple of, the early Joey DeFrancesco dates, the trio with Paul and Byron. And one thing that it took me a while to figure out and learn, but the tunes, and I think they maybe even took a kind of a nod from the way Miles Davis Quintet was playing at some point. The tunes were the framework, and when stuff happened in between, it could go on for 20, 30 minutes. Things could develop, could go into different directions, and there was just this openness about, every night it could be different. And I would see them play the same tune, and it'd be different every night, literally. So taking those concepts of, yeah, there's a little bit of arrangements here and there, there's little things in the melody, but once we could go into play, it's just all about wherever it goes and not holding back either. It's like, so I wanted to do studio recordings with that trio with Colin and Troy in that vein, which I think the first one, Three, and also Confluence, I hope touch upon, that kind of energy and that kind of feeling.
So what are you hoping the listener gets from this album?
Feeling like they're at a concert. I mean, to me, that excitement of, just being able to sit there and listen to it and feeling like it's kind of on the edge, like maybe, and there are points where it's like, oh crap, how are we going to get out of this? Or wait a minute, it's just, to me, that's part of the excitement of the music where it's a little bit rough around the edges. People are going for it, and it's not for everybody. Some people don't necessarily want to hear that, and that's cool, but I think for me, especially since I have the power, since I'm self-releasing these recordings, to have the audience or whoever's listening feel like, yeah, I'm at a gig and sitting like in the front row, and it just is like all the same kind of elements do apply.
And speaking of that concert experience, America right now is in a place of very strange things going on. There's a lot of stress, and I think people are looking for music and art in a different way, and hopefully there's a remedy in that. Are you thinking about that? Are you thinking about when you're putting out recordings and you're playing live about giving people some level of an oasis away from the headlines to feel connected to that idea of what we've all known as this union of people that are celebrating jazz, this original American art form?
Yeah, I think so. And I think in the way that we do it, the chemistry between Colin and Troy and myself off the bandstand is just as great as it is on the bandstand. And so we'll be on the bandstand and there's videos of us playing something and just laughing. We're having fun with it, and we're being silly. We're not serious in terms of our demeanor all the time, I mean, and some people that works for them, the way they want to present the music, that's cool. But for us, it's just about having a good time and the people picking up on that. Because if the people witness that or kind of feel that, then I mean, it draws them in closer to the music. You have a sort of somebody on your team more, but also they have fun with it, So there's no reason you can't enjoy it, have fun, and still play hard.
Absolutely. So it's streaming everywhere. Confluence is streaming everywhere. But if people want to get a physical copy, download it, catch you live, any of the good business, where do they go?
They just go to my website, patbianchi.com, and to order it, you can order right on the main page, the front, the landing page. Concert listings are all up there, and I actually update them soon. But everything is up there. That's the easiest place to find it all.
And I've already played the album on the show. I'm going to play it again. So it's so great to catch up with you. It's always a joy. It's an honor. Thank you so much for taking a minute out today. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you inviting me here to talk to you. It's always great to talk to you as well, and thank you so much.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players and minds in New York, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. And thanks to Pat for coming back by the show. If you want to hear more Neon Jazz interviews, you can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to us at YouTube, and for everything Neon Jazz, go to theneonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.